Hello, boys and girls. This is the Big Scary News with your host, Drew Badger, bringing you all the latest up-to-the-minute news and goings-on in the haunt, horror, and Halloween industry. In addition, we have an interview you won't find anywhere else. The Big Scary News is very proudly brought to you by our title sponsor, Froggy's Fog, makers of the finest fog, smoke, snow, and scents. Visit them at froggiesfog.com. And now, boys and girls, don't be scared, because it's time for the Big Scary News.
What do you say we see what's shaking in the outer limits? Now, it may get a little hairy once in a while, but don't let it flip you out.
Hello everyone, Drew Badger here for Big Scary News episode 114, and unfortunately we're going to have to do it again. We're going to have to start off with some sad news from one of our own. The Big Scary Show is very sad to report that Jerry L'Esperance, a.k.a. Styles, a.k.a. Green Bay Jerry, lost his life on November 24th due to suicide. Jerry worked at Terror on the Fox, where he was an actor and acting coach. And at Rob Zombie's Great American Nightmare, Green Bay Jerry spent a season as an actor and the second as a team lead, helping with training and coaching actors. He spent the last 2 years as general manager at Green Bay Fear. Jerry's family has asked that donations be made to the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. There will also be some memorial shirts available. All proceeds go to AFSP. Stay tuned to Green Bay Fear's Facebook page for that information. That's facebook.com/Green Bay Fear Haunted House. The Big Scary Show sends its deepest condolences to the family and friends of Jerry L'Esperance and offers up this moment of silence. On a lighter note, we have this update from HauntCon. HauntCon, the national event for the haunted attractions industry, has announced that Haunted Farms of America will partner with and have endorsed their support for the 2018 event, January 12th through 15th in New Orleans. Haunted Farms of America, known for its focus on the growing agrotourism and agritainment industries, will now offer members new opportunities at HauntCon to connect even earlier in the year as they plan for the 2018 season. Quote, "We are pleased to partner with Haunted Farms to provide haunters with new insights and opportunities in agritainment," said Mike Carlucci, Senior Vice President of Specialty Shows for Clarion UX. "Our focus at HauntCon is very much aligns with the vision of Haunted Farms of America, providing support, connections, and growth opportunities to all level of haunters. This partnership is a critical step in giving both organizations the tools to better support the industry at large." In addition to their destination booth on the exhibit floor, Haunted Farms of America members will provide several weekend education sessions and panel discussions, including the highly anticipated State of Haunted Farms session to be held on Friday, January 12th. This panel discussion will highlight successful farms who continue to reinvent their show every year, and as a result are some of the most profitable haunts in the business. Quote, "We're excited at what HauntCon is doing and feel the industry is ripe for new opportunities," commented Alexis Abare and Benjamin Selecki, CEO of Haunted Farms of America. "Our focus has been and will continue to be on how we can provide professional service and support that help farms continue to prosper. Our members are thrilled to see HauntCon and Halloween and Party Expo events come together in New Orleans, and I know that they will find the right balance of business connections and fun this year. For more information on HauntCon and to register, visit HauntCon.com. For more information on Haunted Farms of America, visit FarmHaunts.com. We have this news from Frighthaven Haunted Attraction in Stratford, Connecticut. For 2 weekends only, celebrate the holiday season with some scares by visiting Frighthaven of Stratford as they present A Frightmare Before Christmas. The holiday haunted experience will take place on December 15th and 16th, and again the weekend after on the 22nd and 23rd. The special event will take place from 7:30 to 9:30, and on Saturday the 23rd, visitors can enjoy a lights-on Winter Wonderland version of A Frightmare Before Christmas from 1 to 2:30 p.m. Winter Wonderland is perfect for those of all ages who want to enjoy the fun. The scary music and sound effects will be turned off, and the guided walk is ideal for those at any age. A Frightmare Before Christmas will feature all new attractions that will be decked out for the holidays. First, you'll journey through Dead End Manor, No Home for the Holidays, which takes a horrific look into one family's not-so-picture-perfect Christmas Eve. After Dead End Manor, thrill seekers will take a terrifying tour of Santa's toy workshop in the factory. You won't be seeing any happy elves, though. They've been overworked this year, and they've pretty much lost their minds. Tickets are $25 a person, or $20 with a non-perishable food item at the door. Get more info at toursandevents.com/Frighthaven. We have this news from the December to Dismember Film Marathon coming to Richardson, Texas. Deck the halls with bowels of bodies on December 9th at a December to Dismember, a holiday-themed horror movie mystery marathon for all of you on Santa's naughty list. Think of it as a seasonal sequel to our annual Dismember the Alamo Mystery Marathon in October. We'll slay you with three holiday-themed horror movies, shorts, and some other surprises to stuff your bloody stockings, all wrapped up like a Christmas present that you'll get to tear into on December 9th. Plus a horrible Christmas sweater contest for your chance to win prizes. So come help us spread holiday fear this Festivus season and have yourself a scary little Christmas with a December to Dismember. Get more information at drafthouse.com/dfw/show/a-december-to-dismember. Staying in Texas, we have this news from the Dark Hour Haunted House in Plano, Texas. In an effort to reinforce the coven's coffers, the Ice Witch Frosny Wintergreen has forged a deal with the notorious Christmas miser, Ebenezer Scrooge. While he believes he's hired the coven to prevent the spirits from haunting him as he continues his closed-fisted ways, she has used the opportunity to harness the power of the season to summon something that is not quite merry or bright. As her evil cold seeps and spreads across the land, so do the Krampus, the fabled Christmas demon, dragging with them the naughtiest of all the children to run amok in the manor house. The North Pole penitentiaries find their halls empty as the evilest of elves take up residence with the witches to create the unholiest of jolly holidays. Dark Hour Haunted House presents Wreck the Halls December 15th and 16th and the 29th and 30th. Get tickets and more information at DarkHourHauntedHouse.com. We have this news on the Massacre Haunted House in Montgomery, Illinois. Chicago's longest-running Christmas Haunted House returns for three nights this holiday season, December 16th, 22nd, and 23rd. Massacre Haunted House at 299 Montgomery Road in Montgomery, Illinois, near Aurora and Naperville, just 35 minutes west of Chicago. Tickets are on sale now at massacre.ticketleap.com or fearthemassacre.com. We have this news from the All Saints Lunatic Asylum in Apple Valley, California. Who will be this year's special guest? Visit the asylum for one weekend and find out. Christmas at the asylum for one weekend only. Come see how the crazy folks at the All Saints Asylum celebrate Christmas. A little bit creepy and a whole lot of fun. Only $10 a person and available at the door, December 22nd and 23rd from 7 to 10 p.m., 22521 Shawnee Road in Apple Valley. Get your picture taken with Santa, Mrs. Claus, Krampus, and some trickster elves. Stay tuned for more exciting activities for this fun-filled Christmas event. Kids of all ages welcome, if they like it spooky. Get more information at Facebook page, facebook.com/AllSaintsLunaticAsylum. We have this update from Days of the Dead coming to Atlanta. It is with great pleasure that we announce the addition of actress Barbara Bingham to the lineup for Days of the Dead Atlanta, happening February 2nd through the 4th at the Sheraton Atlanta downtown. Making an extremely rare convention appearance, Barbara Bingham is best known to horror fans for her role as Colleen Van Dusen in Friday the 13th Part 8, Jason Takes Manhattan. She's also appeared in such genre fare as Beyond Darkness, Death Mask, and Cop Target. As previously announced guests, Matthew Lillard, Malcolm McDowell, Ray Wise, Tracy Lords, Kane Hodder, and many, many, many more to be announced for Days of the Dead's 7th show in the Peach State. Tickets for Days of the Dead Atlanta are on sale now at daysofthedead.com. We have a little holiday news from Elvira via bloodydisgusting.com. Elvira may be most synonymous with Halloween, but the long-reigning queen of Halloween is now bringing a little cheer to a whole different holiday, Christmas. Produced and now being sold by Tweeterhead, the official Elvira Mistress of the Dark Christmas ornament is now available in two different editions. The standard edition features the iconic black dress, and the limited edition, limited to 500, features a red dress. Sculpted by Matthew Black and painted by David Fisher, the ornaments can be pre-ordered now for only $24.99. Have yourself a scary little Christmas and grab yours from tweeterhead.com. We have this news from the 5th Annual Krampus Run in Los Angeles. For our 5th year, Krampus Los Angeles, in cooperation with the Downtown Art Walk, is pleased to bring an authentic European-style Krampus loft to the city of Los Angeles. More of an interactive ruckus than an orderly parade, this free event takes place on a closed-off block of Winston between Maine and Los Angeles, where dozens of Krampuses, or is it Krampi, I don't know, will pursue those deserving the switch. While naughty hipsters can expect playful yet most deserved swattings, children and more timid grown-ups will be protected by the benevolent St. Nicholas, overseeing festivities from a 19th century steam-style car built and transported every year to L.A. by artist-engineer Kimrick Smythe of Beast Bay Krampus. At 9 p.m. as the last photos are snapped and switch smacks dispensed, try saying that three times fast, we invite you to head over for a free after-party at the appropriately named and somewhat underground nightclub, The Lash, situated behind the parade route. Have a drink, rub elbows with any horned parade devils who straggle in from the parade, and enjoy a bit of song from cabaret artist and official national anthem singer for the L.A.'s German consulate, Christina Linhart, interpreting Bertolt Brecht, Marlene Dietrich, and other Weimar-style favorites. Accompanying her will be musician and former clown and singing ringmaster for Ringling Brothers and Barnum & Bailey Circus, Michael Tuba Heatherington. If you're not too hoarse from screaming orders to his Krampusness, St. Nicholas may also drop by for a pint or two. The party is 21 and over with an ID. Get info at facebook.com/KrampusLosAngeles. We have news from the Higbee Horror Haunt in Modesto, California. Didn't get enough scares this Halloween season? Krampus has taken over Higbee Horror Haunt this season and is bringing all new screams, including evil snowmen and zombie elves. The dates are December 8th and 9th and the 15th through the 16th from 7 to 9 p.m. The location is 2936 Veneman Avenue in Modesto. Get more information at facebook.com/HigbeeHorrorHaunt. We have some news on an Army of Darkness comic featuring Ash and the band Kiss? You say why, we say why the hell not. The Evil Dead franchise's Ash Williams has crossed paths with a handful of other pop culture icons in the world of comic books, including Freddy, Jason, Xena Warrior Princess, and even the Krampus. But the Deadite Slayer's most bizarre pairing to date may very well be his next one. Dynamite Entertainment has just announced they'll be mashing together their Army of Darkness and Kiss brands for a new comic series launching February 2018. In issue number one, written by Chad Bowers and Chris Sims, illustrated by Rory Coleman, Kiss is on top of the world and rocking faces until the Night Disciples of the Destroyer show up and the band disappears. With the tour canceled, a young Ash misses one of the most important events of his life that will change his destiny. Now the Chosen One has to get back on the right path. We have this news from the Bloodshed Farms in Columbus, New Jersey. Bloodshed Farms Fear Fest presents Creepy Christmas, a one-night-only limited ticket event on December 9th. It's Christmas at Hell's Gate Asylum, and all the demented inmates and deranged staff are throwing their annual holiday party. Complete with festive music playing through the halls, decorations and lights hung all about, smells of pine and peppermint swirling in the air, and of course, the staff showing off their ugly sweaters. Santa and his elves are overworked and overbooked as usual, so the jolly old man has enlisted the creepy clowns of Clownophobia to help him finish some orders. The site is full of colorful Christmas clowns, nutcrackers, crazy elves, living dolls, and much more. It's a place of fun and a place of nightmares. For tickets and more information, go to bloodshedfarms.com. And finally, we have this news from the Midwest Haunters Convention pre-show bus tour via Kelly Collins. I am excited to announce the haunts on the 2018 Midwest Haunters Convention bus tour. The tour dates will be May 23rd and 24th, Wednesday and Thursday. Buses start departing downtown Columbus at 9:30 a.m. and return Thursday late night. I'll be posting additional details on the haunts soon, along with the cost for the tour. Here's the list in the order we'll be touring. Lessons in Fear in Perrysville, Ohio. The Ohio State Reformatory Blood Prison in Mansfield. Rotten Manor in Holly, Michigan. St. Lucifer's in Grand Blanc Township, Michigan. Erebus in Pontiac, Michigan. And Spending the Night in Troy, Michigan. Hush Haunted Attraction, Westland, Michigan. Hell, Michigan. We'll stop for ice cream. Awaken in Leslie, Michigan. Jackson's Underworld in Jackson, Michigan. And winding up at the Haunted Hydro in Fremont, Ohio. We started out looking at 25-plus haunts. We looked at reviews and recommendations from industry professionals, and these haunts rose to the top of the list. This is going to be a really cool tour. We'll be restricted to 4 charter buses, and signups will begin sometime very soon, probably within the next week or so. Haunt owners, treat your star performers, or this could be a really cool Christmas present for a family member or friend. More information to come at MidwestHauntersConvention.com. I'll be there. And that wraps up the news for this episode. Stay tuned for the interview here on The Big Scary News. Do you need fog or snow for your haunted attraction or theatrical event? Are you looking for that perfect haze effect? How about scents to give your haunt that extra realism? If you answered yes to any of these, then you need to head over to froggiesfog.com and check out their line of world-famous frog juice, haze juice, artificial snow, and bubble juice. Whether you're a home haunter buying a gallon a year or a major theme park buying 25,000 gallons a year, you can be certain that your satisfaction is their highest priority. They have everything you need when it comes to the highest quality fog and haze fluids. If you're looking for that perfect low-lying stage fog, the longest-lasting water-based fog, the right haze juice for your machine, a bowl juice that outperforms the rest, or a snow juice that evaporates after floating 30 feet, Froggy's Fog has that and so much more. Froggy's Fog also has scent additives that are compatible with any water-based fog, haze, snow, and bubble fluid. For more information, visit froggiesfog.com. That's froggiesfog.com.
Hey, this is Tater. Come buy your fog from me, because if you don't, I'll be homeless.
Hello, everybody. Drew Badger. We're here at the Scares of Care Weekend in Williamsburg, Virginia. And one of the great things I love about this convention, aside from the fact that it is a charity event that helps families in need, is they have an absolute swarm of authors and poets, writers galore, filmmakers, all sorts of people, not just horror celebrities, not just people selling t-shirts, but a lot of really, really talented artists out there that paint, that write, that do all sorts of stuff. I have Brian Nowak, great author of the Dramatic Dead, No Name, other books. How are you, Brian Nowak?
I'm doing very well, Drew. How are you?
Now, you're local, is that correct?
Actually, I live up in Northern Virginia, but okay. I seem to be down here quite often.
You're a member of the Virginia Horror Writers Association?
Yes, I am.
Okay. What does it take to become a horror writer? This is just one of those things that I've always wondered about, you know. A lot of filmmakers, when they start out, they tend to start out with horror. Horror seems to be, for lack of a better word, an easy thing to do. You get a guy with a big bat or an axe, you throw a little blood, you get some women that are scantily clad, and you run through the woods and you chop them up, and bingo, you've made a movie. But it just seems to be that it would be so much more difficult to terrify somebody using simply words on paper
rather than a TV or a visual type mode. How does one become a quote-unquote horror writer?
So I was the kid who snuck out of his room at 11:30 when I was pretty sure my parents had gone to sleep. And I ran down the hallway and turned on the TV, and I would watch all of the creature features and those kinds of shows at night, and loved them. And as I grew up, I started writing more and more. And to be a successful writer, you have to let your imagination be the driver. You have to let your the creative voices in your head sort of run amok. I like serial killers. I write about serial killers a lot. And I have several serial killers in my brain at any given moment doing the unspeakable. But the challenge is to get that down on paper. So it's actually the discipline of a writer where that comes in.
So being bipolar or having multiple personalities certainly helps.
Well, we took the meds, so we're all right now.
Okay.
You're
twitching right there, sorry.
Yeah, well, it happens. Okay. You really do have to have the discipline to sit down and spend the 2 hours a day, 2 or 3 hours a day, or however much you can devote to it, to write. You've got to get these stories out. I've heard other writers talk about having the stories in their heads, and they have to get them out. I really do have my characters wake me up at 3 in the morning because they're having some sort of intense argument. I have to run downstairs and capture that on my computer. Otherwise, I'm going to lose it.
Because, you know, you always have that, oh, my God, that was the greatest dream ever. Well, what was it about? I don't remember, but it was great. And now I can't remember, so...
Drew, you've been reading my blogs. so it's not too long ago, I literally had that same situation happen where a dream, actually a nightmare, woke me up. And I ran downstairs, and I immediately captured that on paper. That became a short story, which I'm looking for a home for right now. But you kid, you jest, but that really does happen to writers.
It's interesting. You know, we've had a couple of writers on our show over the years. We just had author Chris Kullstrom, who just published a book about her travels documenting the haunted house industry. But that's not fiction. That's her experiences doing what she does. How much of the books that you write, which are fiction, I'm assuming, how much of it is based purely on something in your head versus something that may have happened to you, either as a child or an adult, where... you know, something happened, it was like, oh my gosh, this would be great in the book someplace.
So I've heard it said before that writers are the ultimate plagiarists. We very much take into account we are the sum of our parts. In my latest book that was released in May, Riopoke, there's a lake. And I describe there's actually a description in there of somebody fishing. They're casting towards a log that's out in a lake. And this is where one of the characters was taught to fish, was taught to put bait on a line, was taught to tie a hook. Well, when I was a kid, that kind of situation is where my grandfather taught me how to tie a hook, bait a line. So that, you know, and the character's description of his grandfather could be a description of my own grandfather as well. So there is, in each one of my books, there's definitely a storyline that comes from deep inside of me, which comes from the part and parcel of my soul that actually gets translated onto the written page through the mouths of my characters, absolutely, and not the actions of my characters. Well, sometimes, but, you know, that's it. That's the police
topic.
Have not caught up with me yet, so
well,
it's all right.
That's a good
you know.
Thing. And your name was Brian Nowak, and you're from Northern Virginia.
When the FBI Brian. Comes asking, then you'll know.
Probably get called to testify. Now, did you have formal education in this, or was this basically this is the stuff in my head, and you can't learn that anywhere else?
I'm like the last person you come to with grammar questions. I'm horrible with grammar. I'll be the first to admit it. I like to say this to all aspiring writers. Look, you don't have to be perfect out of the gate to be a writer. What makes you a writer is the fact that you sit down and write. That's what makes you a writer. I have an editor to catch me when I do something horribly stupid. And believe me, he does. I get amazing emails back from him. What were you thinking? Are you drinking while you're working? Please drop the Coke habit. That kind of thing. But a lot of times I will... I think you can actually become so educated that it's impossible for you to write fiction. I think it's possible for you to be too smart, to be able to put the words down on page. You have to be able to have the dexterity left in your brain to put down fiction on a page. And I'm sure people are going to disagree with me on that, but I really do think you... You know, I have a bachelor's degree, I have a master's degree, a bachelor's degree in geography and a master's degree in strategic intelligence. Yeah, that does
matter. Bachelor's in geography rules, testify, yes, me
absolutely.
Too.
Absolutely. Everything has to happen somewhere in the world. And you can see the geography actually coming out on the page in some of my work.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Because I look at some authors, and I'm not going to name any names, Tom Clancy, who write, you know, certain things, and it's so technical, and it's almost too technical, but then you can look it up, and it's like, oh, my God, that's exactly right.
But I don't
and it's
wanna...
like, how much research do you have to put into that? But then, you know, it's a work of fiction.
Yes.
Let it just come out of your head as opposed to spending a year learning how a nuclear sub works or a space shuttle or something just because you're going to write about it. Do you really have to know that in order to write about it? Although people do say write what you know.
Well, and there is that aspect to writing. You have to write what you are comfortable with, because if you are trying to write about something that you don't understand personally, your readers are going to know it. There's a lot of law enforcement in my books. It's because of my associate's degree, and what I wanted to do growing up was to be a police officer. So I understand forensics because I studied it. And when I started working on The Dramatic Dead, and actually to a certain degree Riopoke, I went back and looked at forensics because I needed to know that what I was writing was accurate. There's at one point, one of the characters in Riopoke is being accused of rape. And the conservation officer runs a test to see if there are traces of semen in this person's clothing. It's a real test.
Sure.
It's really what they do.
Now, are you trying to write that to the level of, say, a CSI TV show, or are you trying to write it to the level of somebody who is actually a CSI?
No. It's really just a plot mechanism to move the story along. I want to be accurate, but I also am not interested in teaching people how this is really done. If they want to look it up, it's all on the internet. I just want to make sure that I'm being accurate.
Sure.
So Google is my friend. But then, of course, my Google search history makes me look like a serial killer, so, you know.
Hence that FBI investigation,
yes,
that you're worried about.
Indeed, yes, this is true.
So you've got several books out now. Riopoke is your current one.
Yes,
came out
correct.
Very recently. What have you got coming down the pike? What are you working on currently?
So my current obsession is I have a book that has gone through several different edits, and I'm trying to finish it up now. It is tentatively called Crimson Tassels. It looks into what happens if a house becomes haunted by a malevolent spirit who gets a little pissed. They decide that in order to get released from their soul being trapped in this house, they have to force a situation where a husband kills his wife. It's
interesting.
Takes place. It's called Crimson Tassels because it takes place in central Illinois.
I see.
So tassels being on top of corn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not
and not necessarily the stripper.
Yeah, well, I knew you were going to go there,
yeah,
so I was trying to head you off at the pass.
I've seen
but, you know,
Crimson Tassels in my day, spinning in different directions.
Different kind of tassels, but
we're not
know.
Going there. So,
yes.
So for people wanting more information about your books, I assume they're available in bookstores or on Amazon or pretty much anywhere that fine books can be sold. How can they get more information, follow you on social media, websites, order your books, and all things Brian Nowak?
So for all things Brian Nowak, the best thing you can do is you can go to Amazon.com and just type in the name Brian Nowak, B-R-Y-A-N-N-O-W-A-K. And you can also go to my website, www.briannowak.com, spelled the same way, and sign up for my newsletter, because I have a newsletter that I'm doing now quarterly. I'm going to offer freebies, free stories, discounts, etc., so on and so forth.
Excellent.
Yes.
Always a pleasure.
Pleasure. Thank you very
much.
Pleasure
to meet you again. So we saw you last year. Didn't get to talk to you too long, but I'm glad we were able to sit down here. Brian Nowak, check him out on Amazon, website, social medias, all that good stuff. Pick up a copy of No Name, Riopoke, or The Dramatic Dead, and anything else, Brian Nowak. Thank you for being here on the Big Scary Show here at Scares a Care. My name is Drew Badger. We're out.
Thank you.
We'd like to thank the Ghastly Ones for laying down the tunes for this show. Also, we'd like to thank once again Froggy's Fog for being our title sponsor. Froggy'sFog.com.
Make sure to check out the Big Scary Show next week for even more news, music, rants, phobias, interviews, the Round Table of Terror, and so much more at our redesigned website, BigScaryShow.com. Be sure to follow us on Twitter and Facebook, and stay on top of everything happening in the world of haunts, horror, and Halloween. Once again, this is Drew Badger saying good night.